I can speak. And maybe God wants me to do that. I don't know. I can't see. I am blind. And I need to follow the one who gives sight. My apologies for how I sound this day. The coughing, severe coughing, started last night. And the drainage is on. Sniffling, the snorfling. And it's about 6:15 in the morning right now, so I don't want to be too terribly dynamic because I have a neighbor who's probably trying to sleep. So why do I bring that up? On Christmas Day this year, I and two other men are scheduled to bring the message in the service. We will be doing the service ourselves. Solomon Brooks, great young man of God, and Dr. Scott Egan, an older man of God, who has quite a story to tell himself, will be the other two bringing the message. I had told the leaders of this ministry that I would, I don't know if I told the leaders or not, actually, to come to think of it, but I told Solomon and I told Scott that I would concentrate on the singing. Well, now you hear from my voice that that might not be possible. So what does one do? In my mind, you trust and follow God. You keep in prayer. You keep humble. You ask Him not to open the path that you want to walk, but to open the path and lead the way where He wants you to walk. You are essentially the blind, following the one who gives sight. You are essentially the blind following the one who gives sight. Many are the times in the walk of a Christian where things happen that they don't understand. You go along your way doing your duty, thinking you're walking in the path that God wants you to walk, and all of a sudden, circumstances, it seems, force a detour. And the possibility exists that thinking you're walking where He wants you to walk, rather than walking where you want to walk, you get stubborn and bullheaded, and you keep trying to walk that same way. There was an incident years and years ago now, when I was down in the laundry room of the apartment complex that I lived in. That apartment complex had 20 buildings. It was a big complex. It was a small village, actually. Big complex, 20 buildings, 10 apartments per building. Nice place. And I was down in the basement of one of those buildings in the laundry room of the complex. They only had one laundry room, as far as I knew anyway. And I was tired. I think I was frustrated. It's been years ago. And I didn't want to meet anyone. When I got done with my laundry, I did not want to meet anyone. I simply wanted to go back to my apartment and be alone. And as I gathered my belongings and was headed out, I was intending to walk along a path behind the buildings. It's still a sidewalked path, but it was a path behind the buildings, away from the streets, and one on which I was confident I would not run into anyone. And that's the way I started to head, but the moment I started to head that way, something happened. The headlights of an oncoming car, this is at night, the headlights of an oncoming car swept across my vision in a particular way. They flashed into my vision and swept my attention over to another path. And I said, okay, Lord, if you will. And I walked in front of the buildings. Walking in front of the buildings, I ran into another resident of the complex whom I had never met before, and whom I have not seen in years, who was a friend and a support for quite a number of years. His name's Gary Schaefer, by the way. He is a grade school teacher, or he was a grade school teacher when I knew him. And he was a support morally, a support financially, too. He kept me going through a lot of hard times. Had I walked my own path, I would never have met him. Think about that, because things would have proceeded differently than God intended had I not met Gary Schaefer. I had the humility to see that God was saying, you're walking the wrong way. Turn, walk in this other path here. I was the blind following the one who gives sight. I have to confess right now that I am blind to what's going to happen in the next few days, because Christmas Day is 5 days away now, and I'm just now starting to get these symptoms of a pretty serious cold. I do pray that God will grant me voice and allow me to do as I had intended, to lead the singing. After all, he has told me in the Spirit, I want you to sing. Told me that years ago, I want you to sing. And I do, once a week, I do lead the worship of that day's Bible study. But I'm not sure what's going to happen this week because of this cold. I can speak. And maybe God wants me to do that. I don't know. I can't see. I am blind. And I need to follow the one who gives sight. There's a passage in the Gospel of John where he was telling a parable, and the Pharisees and religious leaders were following him around and listening to what he was saying, trying to catch him in his words. And he started in this parable started talking about the blind. And those who will not see, those who do not see, and stuff like that. And the Pharisees, or those following him, said, "Are you saying we're blind also?" Jesus had quite a response. It's John chapter 9, verse 41. Jesus says to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin, but you say we see, therefore your guilt remains." So what do you do? It's like I said, you have to be humble enough to admit that you're blind, that you don't know what he wants you to do, that you need someone to lead you. You can't follow just anyone, of course. You need to follow the one who gives sight. So who is that? Turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6. "Now when John in the prison heard the works of the Messiah, he sent two of his disciples who said to him, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?'" Now, as far as I could see, the context doesn't really tell us why John was questioning. But he was questioning. His disciples said to Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John the things you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Blessed is he who finds no occasion for stumbling in me." Now notice something there. The first item in the list is different from the other items in the list. The other items in the list are the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. But he doesn't say that the blind see, which would be in keeping with the way the other items in the list are written out. No, what he said was, the blind receive their sight. I think that's important. The blind receive their sight. If you look in Oswald Chambers' book, My Utmost for His Highest, I found my copy, or the copy that I've had in my room, laying open, having not been read in a while, laying open to November 15th. And I'd like to read that to you. It's titled, "What Is That to You?" It's one of the few devotionals I have ever found that are based on this particular passage of the Gospel of John. It's John 21, verses 21 and 22. "One of the hardest lessons to learn comes from our stubborn refusal to refrain from interfering in other people's lives. It takes a long time to realize the danger of being an amateur providence, that is, interfering with God's plan for others. You see someone suffering and you say, 'He will not suffer, and I will make sure that he doesn't.' You put your hand right in front of God's permissive will to stop it, and then God says, 'What is that to you?' There is stagnation in your spiritual life, perhaps? Don't allow it to continue, but get into God's presence and find out the reason for it. You will possibly find it is because you have been interfering in the life of another, proposing things you had no right to propose, or advising when you had no right to advise. when you do have to give advice to another person, God will advise through you with the direct understanding of His Spirit. Your part is to remain, or rather is to maintain, the right relationship with God so that His discernment can come through you continually for the purpose of blessing someone else. Most of us live only within the level of consciousness, consciously serving and consciously devoted to God. This shows immaturity and the fact that we're not yet living the real Christian life. Maturity is produced in the life of a child of God on the conscious level until we become so totally surrendered to God that we are not even aware of being used by Him. When we are consciously aware of being used as broken bread and poured out wine, we have yet another level to reach. A level where all awareness of ourselves and of what God is doing through us is completely eliminated. A saint is never consciously a saint. A saint is consciously dependent on God. Now, John chapter 21, verses 21 and 22. I had not thought to open that particular passage, but let's go ahead and do it anyway. See, it's a very important passage, and I find that most teachers of the Scripture skip right over it. Skip right over it. I'm going to start in verse 20 of John chapter 21. Peter is walking with Jesus Christ after Jesus said, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, that is not your business. You follow me." That's the passage that Oswald Chambers was referring to. That's the passage that most teachers of the Scripture will not treat and will not teach out of. I don't know why they won't, but they won't. Very rarely do they seemingly have the courage to teach out of that passage. If I want him to remain until I come, that is not your business. You follow me. Again, you are the blind following the one who gives sight. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 5, he doesn't just say the blind see. He says the blind receive. And it doesn't say to say that they receive sight. It says the blind receive their sight. I think it links up to John chapter 21, verse 22. If I want him to remain until I come, that is not your business. You follow me. See, I had a particular goal in mind for Christmas Day this year that I would lead in worship. In other words, I would do what God has told me He wants me to do. He wants me to sing. Maybe my voice will clear up enough for me to lead the singing on Friday. Or maybe He simply wants me to speak. We'll have to see. Might even be the possibility that he wants me to drop out completely. We'll have to see how this goes. I know that he wants me to minister to others. But in what way in this particular instance? I have to confess, I am blind I cannot see, and I am following the one who gives sight. Father, I ask you to open the doors that you would open for me, to guide me in the paths you would have me to walk, to lead me in the way you would have me to go, to be that voice, hands on my shoulder, pointing out before me, saying, "This is the path, walk in it." Even as you did all those years ago with that flashing headlight beam. I would have you, Lord, to give me my sight, that I could see to follow you. I don't want to walk my own path anymore. I want to follow you, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. My listeners, I do ask you, I implore you, be humble enough to understand that you are blind, because that is the only way that you will be free from guilt. When you confess to God, "I am blind and I cannot see," and He gives you your sight, then you are so blessed. But if you keep blindly stumbling along, thinking that you are going the right way, not knowing that you're not walking the way He wants you to walk, and yet not being humble enough to confess your situation and ask for forgiveness, and ask for Him to give you your sight, that you can do the job, that you can fulfill the role that He particularly and specifically has for you to do. Because if you don't, then that question out of John chapter 21 is going to come right back at you. If I want Him to remain until I come, that is not your business. Not so much a question, but a rebuke. That is not your business. You follow me. I don't want you to keep getting that rebuke. I want you to follow Him. Admit that you are blind and follow the one who gives sight. Thank you, Father, for this word. I ask you, therefore, Lord, that your word would go out and would not return to you void, but that it would accomplish what you send it out to accomplish. I do ask you to give me health, Lord, because I don't want to make other people sick by coughing and hacking and sneezing. I want to be a beacon shining your light. In your name, amen.
This recording copyright 2015, William F. Maddock. This recording may be freely distributed so long as its content is not altered.